Here's Johnny.
Scarefest 6, the largest horror and paranormal convention in the United States, returns to the Lexington Center in Lexington, Kentucky this September on Friday the 13th through Sunday the 15th.
Meet over 40 of your favorite horror and paranormal celebrities, including Sam, Tara, Luna, and Hoyt from True Blood, Carl from The Walking Dead, Aiden from Being Human, Steve and Tango from Ghost Hunters, and Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange. Events include a Friday the 13th bash, film screenings, seminars, and lots of scary merchandise. For tickets and info, visit thescarefest.com.
Scarefest 6, this September, beginning Friday the 13th through Sunday the 15th at the Lexington Center in Lexington, Kentucky. Be brave if you dare, but don't come alone.
Presented by Ghost Chasers International. What are you doing Friday the 13th?
Curio Radio is brought to you by Amberly Fleming Photography. Quality you expect at prices you deserve. Visit them today at facebook.com/afleming photography and tell her that Curio Radio sent you.
Hey, this is Dallas from Mailing and the Sons of Disaster, and you're listening to Curio Radio.
Time to kick it from the start, but save the best for last. Just sit back, relax, and ease your minds with Ned and Pat. You never know where they're going or what they're gonna say. They start in Leslie County, they end up on Pirate Bay. They keep the special guests coming like some interviews disciples. 1 minute it's DDP, then the next it's Shawn Michaels. Retro phenomenons bringing throwback back, like Nico with a symbol or when Patrick's name was Brack. Chuckles in my belly, now it's time to let them out. Ned and Pat, they got the funnies, and Nico's got the rap. So what y'all waiting for? Time to pull you up a seat and kill the radio. This podcast is yours to keep.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Ned and Pat.
We are back with another week of Kill Your Radio. My name is Pat. Along with me for the ride is my partner Ned and our correspondent Forrest. What's going on, guys?
The partner thing is starting to sound ambiguously gay.
No, it don't.
Like correspondent, you mean like a sportscaster or a meteorologist?
Sure, we'll say that.
Horseshoes color commentator.
Yeah. Forrest is a color commentator for horseshoes.
And there's Pat, lined up in the line, without looking his eye. He's eyeing that. He's eyeing that horseshoe. He's eyeing that pole. He goes for a throw, and he misses.
No ringers today.
Van steps up to the to the bare spot in the grass. He winds up. He releases. It's a leaner. No ringers today. As of yet.
For our losers, we have Bob Barker off to the side to give them a congratulatory pat on the back.
Yeah.
Or on the sack. So, we realize that it's been a while since we've had a good Lord of the Rings rant. And Ned and Forrest were sure having a good one here a few minutes ago.
I know. We used to have them fortnightly.
Yeah, we did. So, how about you guys let everybody in on your Lord of the Rings rant?
Well, Peter Jackson, I mean, he did a great job with the movies and all, but
a lot better than J.J. Abrams.
Or another J.J.
Yeah.
Sam, I couldn't sleep in space. Why, oh, Mr. Frodo?
What space?
Anyway, continue.
You know, on the subject of J.J. Abrams' Lord of the Rings mashup, I mean, Frodo in Cloverfield, I can see it.
Sam, if a hobbit were to build a rocket ship and leave Middle Earth's orbit.
Oh, Mr. Frodo, we mustn't talk about such things.
Witchery.
You sound like you've been talking to the Dark Lord Sauron.
Dun, dun, dun.
That would have been the perfect time for it, wouldn't it?
I know.
Missed it. Anyway, continue.
Peter Jackson did a good job with the movies, but, you know, there's so much stuff he skipped out on, you know, like Scouring of the Shire. And, I mean, there's such a difference between the normal theatrical editions of the movies and the extended editions of the movies.
Yeah, the Scouring of the Shire is the single most depressing part of the whole Lord of the Rings.
You know,
I guess he was trying to save the audience a little
depression.
Yeah.
After reading the book, what got me was how the beginning was so different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in, you know, when you watch the movie, it's like Gandalf runs off, and then 10 minutes later he comes back. And he's like, "Frodo, where's the ring? You gotta go now." But in the book, it was, what, like 17 years or something?
Yeah, years passed.
Frodo forgot who Gandalf was, you know. That got me. And then the...
Yeah, he had time to buy another house and move his furniture. And
yeah. And the whole Burlwhites thing, too.
Yeah, and three male hobbits took baths together.
Now that's ambiguous.
Indeed.
In Middle Earth, it's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, apparently a lot of things are. But the Lord of the Rings rant leads on to Sean Bean. Because Ned's adorned in his Game of Thrones shirt this evening.
Indeed. Quite festive.
Winter is coming.
Fetching.
And we were talking about how it was sad in the book that Ned Stark died, and then it was sad on the TV show because Ned Stark was Sean Bean,
who was also Boromir,
the only member of the Fellowship to die, which Ned pointed out. He died at the end of the first movie. He also died at the end of the first season of Game of Thrones. He also died in National Treasure.
Oh my God.
Why do they keep killing Sean Bean off?
Is he the typecast as the likable character that's killed off?
He wasn't too likable through most of the Fellowship. Kind of a prick.
Yeah.
It's kind of a prick in the Fellowship, man. He was a big prick in National Treasure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a likable actor, though.
Oh, yeah. Nice Britishman.
It's like a guy that you would think would be like a character that would be through the whole movie.
Yeah, but sadly, Sean Bean is always cast as the guy to die.
Mm-hmm. He was 006.
You know what I realized? I didn't know that Ian McKellen was in the Da Vinci Code.
Really?
Yep. Watch the Da Vinci Code, finally.
Did you?
Yep. Yep. I have to say, it was pretty alright.
Pretty alright.
I like Tom Hanks in general. We were just watching Tom Hanks. And Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
There's no relation.
Forrest Gump survived the tainting of having to watch it in school about 100 times. And it's still remaining a good movie to watch. Me thinks.
Oh, yeah. And while watching Forrest Gump, Forrest Jofus had a revelation about if he had no legs.
It's with technology these days, they can do so many things. I mean, they can clone stuff. They can make Diet Coke with zero calories. Why can't they instead of making prosthetic legs, make prosthetic legs, but like a spider lower body.
This is his answer to Lieutenant Dan.
I mean, you know, it'd be infinitely cooler to have eight legs, crawl walls, hang upside down, and do just all-around sneaky, sketchy stuff than just have two legs.
Man, well, he could wear a mask and, like, crawl down into the water and just massacre shrimp by hand.
What if
with his crab legs?
What if with his robot spider legs he could shoot web, but it was barbed wire?
Oh my god!
How cool would that be?
He could go from being an octopus to a land spider, from a land spider to a sea spider.
He could get a job in Texas.
Wow. You know who could make that happen?
Who?
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yeah.
Because these guys have come to the conclusion that Bill Nye the Science Guy is building bombs somewhere.
Yeah, he's building all manner of nefarious killing machines.
I mean, Bill Nye, he doesn't just build bombs. He's a weapon of mass destruction himself.
Remember Mr. Wizard?
Yeah.
Now that is old school. Mr. Wizard was like amazing you by telling you that lemon juice was sour. So.
What? No way.
How dare you?
He's taking lemon juice and writing secret messages on a Q-tip, holding it under a candle.
He was doing some
disappearing ink.
He was doing some cryptic stuff, wasn't he?
Yeah,
that's some archaeological.
You ever tried that?
No.
Have you ever tried to write something in lemon juice and then hold it under a candle?
I imagine paper'd burn.
No, just like heat it a little bit.
Oh no, have you?
Mm-hmm.
You've tried all kinds of stuff.
I was a tinkerer as a little small Ned.
When I was but a wee Ned.
When I was but a wee Ned.
I was a tinkerer.
I did. I tried to rig stuff up all the time.
It sounds like a job for Nicolas Cage in his National Treasure appearance.
I want to be the first graduate from his school of acting.
And do this all the time.
What's going on?
Do the hand motion.
When he, you ever seen Bad Lieutenant?
Uh-uh.
When he's roughing up them old ladies.
Oh my god.
Like pointing a gun at them and like taking their oxygen mask off and grilling them. You ever seen that?
What?
He's got an old lady and he's like shuts her oxygen off. And she's like smothering, and he's like, "Where's your son at?"
Oh my god!
And he's like, "That's the one where he's God, I hope we've not talked about this before, but that's the one where he's doing drugs and like freaking out and like going, like seeing like lizards that nobody else is seeing."
I wish I could have just took a picture of his face.
He's just maniacally laughing, smoking crack with like these stereotypical black gangsters.
You remember in Family Guy where when Peter got on crack and Brian's like, "Where'd you get crack, Peter?" And he said, "From blacks." And Brian's like, "What?" He says, "Yeah, from Black's Hardware. I got in an alley from a white guy."
I watched the one the other day where Brian joined the police force and got hooked on coke.
Oh, that one was great.
Yeah.
That one was great. Speaking of police forces, it's not the same thing, but it falls in the justice line. Do a bit of local news for you here.
We're going to provide a service to reread you a headline from local news.
A few days ago here in our small county of Leslie, in the nestled in the beautiful Appalachian Mountains of
Southeastern
Kentucky.
You got
to
do Paul Harvey voice if you're going to reread the news.
I'm not going to reread it. I'm paraphrasing. Here's the deal. they had some inmates out doing some work release stuff. And apparently they were by a local grade school. And one of them said he had to poo. So he got some toilet paper from his supervising officer. And the officer told him to go into the tree line and take his poo. Well, quite a bit of time went by, and the officer suddenly noticed he had never come back. This man is still on the loose. And
a fugitive.
When the supervising officer was asked by the local news station what the deal was, he said, and I quote, "If they come back, they come back. If they don't, they don't."
Oh, hell.
So, if any of you folks that listen to us ever need to go to jail, come to Leslie County.
And poop.
So, you got to poop.
Hold on, though. What if the science class went out there looking for leaves or something?
They'd find poop instead.
They found a big diseased, like, criminal poop in the woods.
Criminal poop in the woods.
It just had, like,
needles
in it. Just HIV needles all in the poop.
It's where my niece goes to school.
Yeah.
Or your mom teaches school.
I know. And there's a big pile of poop with, like, needles and, like, half-smoked cigarettes. Maybe like a pack of ramen noodles or something. Just see him squirreling away.
Bloody condoms.
Yeah. Bloody condoms full of heroin.
And blood.
Bad drugs and blood.
Big criminal poop.
Yeah.
You look like you're dying to say something.
Just on the inside.
Oh, my goodness. So, to make a long story short, there's a criminal on the loose.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they need to get, like, one of them old deep south foremans with a rifle and a pair of mirror shades on or something, like Cool Hand Luke style. But apparently they have a guy that dispenses toilet paper and stops paying attention immediately.
Rather than Cool Hand Luke, shotgun, rifle, mirror tint glasses, cowboy hat guy.
Yeah.
They have dude that leans back in his truck and listens to 97.9.
Yeah. He's like, ooh, Gangnam Style.
He's like, oh, man.
He's like, man, that's a Harlem Shake. That's a good team, man.
Hey, boys. Put your shovels down. Natalie and Billy is coming on. Get over here.
Well, if Harlem Shake come on, then all of a sudden, like, you seen all the inmates just, like, doing crazy dances.
That'd be awesome.
And then that one guy was, like, bouncing up and down, pooping in the woods.
Pooping needles.
Yeah.
Wow. That's deep.
I can't believe that he said, if they come back, they come back.
If they don't, they don't. I mean, I've got some further information from a former employee at the jail that said, you know, he's really good at his job and everything. And, hey, I'm not saying that the guy's not, you know, but I think he could have said something a little bit better to the media.
Yeah, this paints a kind of a questionable picture.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no offense to the guy. I mean, there was just one of you.
I know.
And it shouldn't be one guy watching, like, eight prisoners.
Well, I mean, another thing is, too, like, what's the world coming to when you can't trust a criminal?
What's the world coming to when you can't let a man that's been in jail for 5 years go out in the woods by himself and poop unsupervised?
To be fair, though, he was probably in there for something silly.
Yeah, it also said in that news article that most of the people that are on work release are getting ready to get out, and they're in there for, like, nonviolent crimes.
Yeah, they don't gather up all the pedophiles and
Barnyard sodomizers.
Barnyard sodomizers. Take them straight to the grade school, I guess. And let them poop inside of children.
I don't understand why a person who's...
What? Wow. That just happened. On Kill Your Radio.
Lord.
52nd episode. Pooping in children. Wow.
Oh my God.
I think we both thought I said different words. I said insat.
Pat, is that what you heard?
Pat,
that's not what I heard.
No,
I heard something else.
Insight sounded like inside to me.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's just horrible.
Well, he is a pedophile.
I guess. I don't know how that would work, but it bothers me bad thinking about it.
Science.
You need to utilize science to a degree.
That sounds like something that would be on VHS.
Yeah.
Segway!
That's the missing vignette.
Oh, man. So Ned had been going on about this movie, VHS. And obviously, for some odd reason, Ned was able to watch it on television. And then, like, a week later, it came out in the movies for a little while.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. I was just watching, like, one of them weird-ass DirecTV channels that nobody watches.
Yeah.
And it said, Stick Preview VHS. And I thought it was, like, getting ready to come out on DVD. But apparently it was getting ready to, like, be made and shot or something.
So VHS, he, like, tells me about it. And I never could, like, find anything about it. And then, I come home from work the other day, and my wife's like, guess what I recorded? And I'm like, what? Because I thought, sure, it was going to be something just silly. And she's like, I recorded VHS. And I was like, yes. So last night we watched it. And I've got to say that Ned was absolutely right in saying that it was awesome, because it really throws you for a loop.
Especially if you don't know what's going on.
And you probably won't.
Yeah, so don't, like, read up on it or anything.
Yeah, don't read up on it.
The weirdness of what's going on is part of the charm.
Yeah, like, we don't want to completely spoil it.
I talked to a guy the other back time, though. He thought it was horrible.
Who?
Some guy I used to work with.
Well, he's stupid. Somebody I know?
No.
Oh, he's stupid.
Everybody we don't know is stupid.
Yeah.
Is it somebody I know?
No.
I concur with Pat's statement.
And if we get to know somebody we don't know, then there's like a trial period where we figure out if they're still stupid or not.
And then if they're still stupid, we don't know.
Right.
That's how it works in Kill You Right Now.
Right.
Dum, dum, dum.
Preach it, brother.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I was, everybody check out VHS, it's awesome. There's a part two.
Really?
There is a sequel.
Uh-oh.
But, oh man, I forgot about the one with the girl that took our friends up to the woods.
Yeah, that was my least favorite one, probably.
Yeah, it was kind of boring.
Yeah.
But, it was... All right, nonetheless.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I like the first one. With the motel room.
Yeah.
Then the other one with the motel room.
Did you notice there was a theme of douchebags getting massacred?
Yep. Most definitely. Yes. But everybody check out VHS. It's really cool.
Yeah. If you're a douchebag, don't let somebody film you with a VHS recorder.
Yeah, because you're probably going to die.
Yeah, something bad's about to happen.
Comments?
You seen VHS for us?
Nope.
You'll have to check it out.
For me, I usually only turn the television on during football season.
I think it's on Netflix right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've got it recorded in there on the DVR.
We'll have to have a sleepover and... fix some popcorn and drink fruity drinks and watch it.
Which I did a sleepover the other night, and you left and ended up having to work her egg.
Talk about luck, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a sleepover, and we'll boil some peanuts. And
man, boiled peanuts are awesome. You know they're selling them at the Walmart now?
Is that right?
Yeah. Canned, though. I just don't think it'd be that good.
No, you got to buy them like in a paper bag on the side of a Georgia highway.
Or an Alabama highway.
Or a dark desert highway.
With cool wind in your hair.
And the warm smell of Kalitas.
Ned just knows the guitar parts.
Dropping the ball.
I'm going to do the guitar part that just goes.
That's the part I always wanted to do.
That part always makes me cry when I hear it.
You cry through the whole song.
There's manly tears of teariness pouring off my face throughout the whole song.
Welcome to the Hotel Forest, Jophus.
Yeah.
It's emotional.
It's impeccable.
That's a nice word.
It is. It's a good word. So, I read online today, guys, that Jason Newsted's full-length album has cracked the Billboard Top 200.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Heavy metal music is what it's called.
That's about what it is.
Yeah. It's awesome. I'm so happy that it's doing so well.
I know.
Because it was awesome.
It was. It was very well and old school and awesome.
And the other night, the last night of the Gigantour, Dave Mustaine, while Megadeth was playing, called Newsted out on stage with him, and they played Phantom Lord.
Oh, my God.
With Newsted singing. And it was awesome. Yeah. Mustaine's been dying to play some of that Metallica stuff.
I've got a plan.
Newsted.
Newsted, join me.
They're like, so Dave, who do you want to get to go on Gigantour? I want to get Newsted so I can play some Metallica tunes.
I didn't know Gigantour was still around.
Yeah!
That's awesome. I went to it back in 2008. We, us in the crowd managed to break the barricade during Children of Bodom while they were on stage, and we put the show on hold for about 35 minutes.
I love crazy European bands.
Forrest is like, he goes to concerts and ends up always in some kind of group that's breaking a barricade or breaking or causing a stampede or something.
Or turning around and yelling something incoherently at the crowd.
Or doing the flying V.
I'm like a field general at shows.
Yes.
Yeah, because when we went to Orion, they had like the pit section gated off, and Forrest got his ragtag band of people to like break the barricade down or something.
Yeah. He did the impossible by organizing a band of heshers and stoners and slacker kids.
Yeah, pretty much. Into the flying V. He got them to make a formation.
With that formation, we wedged our way through the crowd and wedged our way through the barricade.
Which resulted in Forrest getting a Kirk Hammett and James Hetfield pick.
I think Lars winked at me from the stage.
I think Lars winks at a lot of guys from the stage.
What will work? Teamwork!
Don't take my special feeling away from me. I don't have much, and that's one thing I have. Don't take it away from me.
Sorry, man.
Lars, he is the kind of guy that would wink.
He's a winker.
He's a winker.
Not to be confused with a wanker.
No.
Of course, he may be that as well. We don't know. Probably never will.
Indeed.
But folks, we're going to take a quick break and come back with Kill Your Radio's interview with Mr. Eddie Trunk. So stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
We all know that the internet is the ultimate advertising tool. No one knows that better than Kill Your Radio. KYR offers several advertising packages at affordable prices, and we guarantee professional problem. Contact us today at facebook.com/killyourradio12 or killyourradio12@gmail.com to be a part of the hottest thing since heavy metal.
And we're back from that commercial break. Kill Your Radio, trying to get you to buy advertisement from us. Well, we'll push your products.
Mm-hmm.
What all was it that he said in the face in the crowd?
What's that?
He was like, I'll push your products.
Yeah.
Went crazy. You ever seen a face in the crowd for us?
Nope.
Tell him about it real quick, Ned.
A face in the crowd was back when Andy Griffith was just like a leading man actor. And he made this movie about he was a folksy, like, charismatic TV show personality. That
Scallywag.
Yeah, who had, like, been, they found him in jail, and he's, like, playing guitar, and he's just, like, an old crazy drunk. And he, like, turned into, like, this Glenn Beck character that took over television and became, like, super, like, popular nationwide. And he married, like, this underage girl and, like, went crazy and like, had this big crazy ride to the top. And then, he finally just, like, melted down, and they caught him cussing out. Not cussing out, but just, like, screaming at America and calling them sheep. And
his sheep.
Yeah.
Calling them stupid.
Yeah, calling them stupid sheep and stuff. And it, like, ruined him. Yeah, it's an amazing movie. There's a big scene at the end where he's, like, screaming this big speech to an empty room and stuff.
But he has an applause machine.
Yeah.
It sounds like the offspring of an AC/DC and a Pink Floyd album.
It is. It's kind of like The Wild with Andy Griffith.
It's wild.
What kind of product was he pushing?
When he went to New York to get on that television station, they were pushing a drug called Vitajex. And he walked into the room, and they all were, like, kind of making fun of him because he was so folksy, redneck. He just started screaming, I'll push your product! I'll sell you pills! And all the crap.
Vitajex.
Vitajex.
Vitajex. Yeah. It sounds like a breakfast cereal with the gummies being replaced with Flintstone gummies.
Right.
Exactly.
With that being said, folks.
And Andy Griffith, in an interview, said that they let him actually drink Jack Daniels on the set to get into character. So, yeah.
I feel like I'm in the wrong profession.
Yeah. But, folks, we've got a really cool interview for you with Eddie Trunk from That Metal Show. He's, I think, one of the cool things is that he really goes into detail about how they get guests for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love hearing about the inner workings and machinations of these television shows.
Exactly. So with that being said, everybody, check out our interview with Eddie Trunk. Kill Your Radio, and we have a special guest on the line with us today, Eddie Trunk. Everybody knows him from That Metal Show. What's going on, man?
Patrick?
Doing well. So, I guess one of the big things we want to ask you is we've really not heard the story of how you got started and how everything came to be for you.
Well, my history goes back 30 years to my radio show, which started in 1983. I started doing one of the first ever radio shows focused on metal music in New Jersey, where I've lived my whole life. And from there, everything just grew. I still do two radio shows a week, one on FM radio, one on satellite radio, and started in TV back in 2002 as a host for VH1 Classic, which a lot of people don't realize. I've been on VH1 Classic for 11 years now. I was doing all sorts of VJ work and interviews and different things for them. And then in 2008, pitched them the idea to try to do the show, show that was a little bit more about what I was about, and to let me bring my friends on with me to do it with me, and to talk all these bands that we love, and that's how that metal show was born. And Don and Jim were friends, and they were also always dropping by my radio show, so I suggested to them, to the network, that they meet these guys, and that we could all be a good team. And eventually, we shot a pilot. And the pilot was picked up, and then here we are, 100-plus episodes later, still chugging. So it's been a great ride. But for me, it's always just been about supporting all the bands that I love and, trying to give them good, respectful platforms, whether it be TV or radio, to spread their message and their music.
Yeah, that was one thing that we wanted to ask. Were you friends before with Don and Jim, or did it just kind of get thrown in by TV people? But you kind of answered that for us, so that's
cool.
Yeah,
no, a lot of people have asked me that over the years because they just thought that these guys were dropped in my lap. But the truth is that we were friends before. We had met, maybe 4 or 5 years before we did the show. We're all from New Jersey, but it's weird that we never met sooner than that. But, we had met years before because they were fans of my radio show in New York. And as stand-up comics, which is what they do, they would listen to my show when they would get out of comedy gigs. So they would always, run into me at shows. And finally I said to them, hey, if you guys ever want to come up and sit in on the radio show, if you're not working, come on in. And from time to time they'd come in and sit in on the radio show, and we just became friends. And we developed a friendship and a chemistry on my radio show for a few years whenever they were around hanging out. And then I was the one that suggested when that metal show started to come together, that they would be, VH1 wanted other people on the show besides just me. They wanted people that would kind of be ball busters a little bit, and I wanted to make sure that the people that were with me also really loved the music, and those guys fit the bill on both, so it became a good team.
Right on. I think my partner Ned here has a couple of questions for you.
Sure. What's up, Ned?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey.
I think one thing we wanted to ask too is that metal show. It seems like the focus a lot of it is classic metal, classic thrash, new album bands. What's your take on newer metal and in particular extreme metal? I mean, are you a fan of death metal and black metal and all the things under that metal umbrella, or do you tend to just keep your focus on the classic stuff?
For me personally, no, I'm not personally a fan of that stuff, and I don't listen to it. It was never something that I was into. I was always into the more traditional heavy metal and hard rock and rock in general, anything that was really rock. And, my taste leaned more towards hard rock and heavy metal. I've always liked the commercial hard rock stuff, and I've also loved the classic thrash stuff. But I never got into death metal. I never got into black metal. I never got into progressive metal. For me, what I like most in music, if I don't like the singing, it's over for me immediately. I have to like the vocals. Doesn't mean they have to be these pitch-perfect, incredible vocals. I just have to like vocals. And if it's just screaming and really extreme stuff, it's just never something I could get into. Not to diminish those bands, not to take away from them. I respect what they do. There's a tremendous amount of energy there. But it's just, I'd be lying if I said I liked it. But what's really important for people to understand is that my tastes are not what dictates who is and isn't on that metal show. The network makes those decisions. We all work for VH1 Classic. There's no artist that's getting on the TV show without them approving it. So they steer that ship. I have a lot to do with the guests and booking them, but I cannot book one guest on the TV show without the approval of the network. And the network, I think a lot of times people forget, is called VH1 Classic. And the entire network is built on classic rock and metal. So all they care about as far as guests is getting the most name-recognized, known artist possible at all times. They don't care about the underground. They don't care about the fringes. They don't care about the extreme stuff. They care about what did people see on MTV back in the day? That's the number one criteria, whether people want to call it rock, metal, pop, hard rock, whatever. None of that matters to them. All it is about getting the biggest, most recognizable names and faces at all times on the show. And a lot of times, you know, there's artists that I've been trying to get on for years that they won't sign off on, and then one year they'll say, yeah, okay, let them on. So it's a process. But I think the big misconception a lot of people have is that if I don't like it, it doesn't get on. And that's not true at all. I mean, it's just a process of, there's artists we've had on that I haven't been the hugest fan of. Doesn't mean I don't want to interview them and talk to them. So it all depends. And at the end of the day, I think it's probably one of the biggest misconceptions about the show is that it's all us dictating the direction. It's not. It's a classic TV network. And as we say on the show, you know, you don't turn on ESPN Classic to see new bands. This channel is called VH1 Classic because it's about classic bands. That being said, we've had a ton of new bands. We all love new bands. And we all find ways, even if they're not on the show, to mention or support new bands. It could be just as simple as something like wearing a T-shirt or recommending their record. The network may say, no, we're not really ready to have a band like that on, but we still find our ways to support them. So it's a team effort, and we work for the network who steers that direction.
So who are some of the newer bands that you're a big fan or supporter of?
The band I like the most that I just heard recently that I really like a lot is a band called Scorpion Child from Austin, Texas. They're a really cool band. I'm liking the scene that is like, you know, newer bands with a really old school sound, you know, really straight up, you know, killer hard rock, but with an old school direction. And Scorpion Child are very much like that. Huge riffs, great vocals, you know, big raw production. So they're like one of my current favorite new bands. There's a band from New York that's been around for a few years, but kind of in the underground, called Blackwater Rising. I like them. There's also a band that's got a couple records out now called Rival Sons. I like them. They're from Los Angeles. So, you know, there's more that I'm escaping at the moment. Of course, you know, my favorite band right now is the Winery Dogs, which is a new band, but it's made up of guys that have been around for a long time. And, I love that band to death. And I also, you know, it's somewhat personal for me because all three of the guys are friends and I actually had a hand in putting them together. But all that aside, if I didn't know them or had nothing to do with it, I'd still love it.
You know, I've actually heard of the Winery Dogs, but I haven't listened to them yet.
It's Mike Portnoy, Billy Sheehan, and Richie Kotzen, and it's incredible, amazingly played hard rock and with a classic feel to it. It's unbelievable.
Cool. So who are some of the guests that maybe VH1 has vetoed that you've tried to get on recently?
Well, there's you know, the more extreme stuff that you ask about, or the more fringe guys, or guys that just aren't that well known, you know, guys I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Like, we come up with a list of people that we'd like to have on the show. And how it works is that we bring that list to VH1. And VH1 says, yeah, yes, 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 nah, I don't really know who they are. No, not big enough. No, we don't think people care enough. Yes, okay, maybe. So it becomes like a tiered list. Then we reach out to see who's around that is available.
Right.
That's the other hardest part with booking our show.
Yeah.
Who is available? Because bands tour. And bands tour more than ever now.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, we only tape. I don't know if people realize this. We do 2 shows a day. And for 8 episodes, we only shoot for 4 days. So if that band isn't available to be there when we shoot because they're on the road, we can't get them. And that happens all the time. So it's a mix of things. And, you know, to get into who specifically the network has passed on, some people they passed on and eventually said, yeah, go ahead and have them on. You know, I don't want to get into that because it's really no, you know, I don't want to disparage those bands. But, I mean, it's just, there's just bands that they just quite honestly don't feel anybody cares enough about. And, again, it's television. They need to feel that it's a big band, that when you turn that channel on and see the face, without anybody telling you, you know who that person is. And there's a lot of guys that are just, you know, in the more fringe bands or the more underground bands that, honestly, that, you know, a mainstream TV channel has never even heard of. So that's not something that's going to get them excited. It always makes me laugh when I hear from fans that say to me, hey, man, you should get some underground stuff on there. You should get some obscure stuff on there. And I say to them all the time, do you honestly think a TV network loves words like obscure, unknown, and underground? I mean, those are the worst words that a TV executive wants to hear.
You can't sell commercial time to obscure.
No, exactly. I mean, you know, people forget that it's a business and that we're working for a TV channel. It's like, you know, you can't, I do two radio shows. I control my radio shows. I can have whoever I want on my radio shows. Last night, I talked to Jeff Pilson for a half an hour. You know, I talked to Jason Newsted for an hour. We had all three of the Winery Dogs guys in for over an hour. I can do whatever I want there, but it needs to go through the channels. And it's like, those are, you know, underground and obscure are not words that make a TV channel excited. So it's funny to me. I get the passion from the fans, but the disconnect is funny because they don't see the angles that I have to deal with. And that, you know, if I go to the people that run my show and be like, hey, man, I got this really underground band we have to have on, conversation's over. I mean, that's not a word they want to hear. They want to hear, you know, I just got Eddie Van Halen, you know.
Right.
So that's all that really matters in making this work. But like I said, people would be surprised if you really look at it. We've had a ton of bands on in some way, not necessarily on, but represented in the show. And we've all picked our spots in order to promote them. I mean, in this season alone, we had Ben from Dillinger Escape Plan. We had Johan from Amon Amarth. We had Jamie Josta of Hatebreed. I mean, we're finding ways to incorporate this stuff when and where we can. But it's a process.
Right. Speaking of Newstead, we got to interview him the night that the EP dropped. What do you think about his new stuff, man? Is it badass or what?
Yeah, I like it, and I like it live even more. I saw him headline at the Roxy earlier this year, and the show is phenomenal, and his band is phenomenal. So I think it's real good. I spent a lot of time with him last night in New York, and he seems to really, really be loving the response and loving back being into this metal vibe, and that's a good thing to see. It's very much, you know, guys like him are good to have in heavy metal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I was reading up online a little bit, and I read some stuff about your strong distaste for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, that's been well documented for a long time on radio and TV, and, you know, over the years they've made some adjustments there and finally put people like Alice Cooper and Rush in, but there's still a tremendous amount of artists that aren't in, like Deep Purple and Kiss and so many others. It's kind of hard to even take seriously, and you know, I talk about it so much just to shed light on the hypocrisy that it is. And you know, some have said my screaming about it has helped people like Alice Cooper and Rush go in, but you know, I don't know if that's the case. I just need to shine a light on it so people realize how unbelievably warped some of the process is there, and how many incredible bands are still ignored.
Right. I mean, I completely agree. It's like when, I guess, Metallica done their induction speech, Hetfield was like, you know, this opened the doors for bands like, I can't remember who all he said, but do you think that Metallica going in is really going to blow the doors open for bands like maybe UFO?
No, not at all. I think that it's a private club, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I think that as much as James saying that is a nice idea, I don't know how much it's really going to change things. The truth of the matter is, the fact that Metallica is in there and Deep Purple is not, Metallica themselves would tell you is absurd.
Right.
So, you know, look at the lineage here. You know, Metallica's biggest influences, bands like Thin Lizzy, Deep Purple, what have you, Motorhead, have been ignored by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, still are. So if they had any care about what Metallica thought, those bands would be in way before Metallica was in. So they don't care. The only reason, and the only thing that could change is the fact that now Metallica being in and Rush and Alice Cooper being in, those guys now get votes for future inductees. So maybe they could help with, you know, sway the voting process. But it is, you know, it is certainly not, I don't think, going to have any major immediate impact.
Right. And one more question before we let you go. What can we expect for the next season of that metal show?
Don't know yet, because I don't know when we're going to do it and where we're going to do it. So we're in this in-between seasons holding pattern, as we often are. I mean, we found ourselves in this spot 12 times in the last 5 years, where the new shows just ended, and now there's a ton of repeat showing. And now we just sit and wait. Of course, we all do other things, but we wait for VH1 Classic to call us and say, okay, here's our plan. Here's where we're going to do it. Here are the days we're going to do it. Let's start booking guests, and here's what we want to do. And again, I can't stress that enough. Not, you know, not to distance myself from anything, because I do have a lot to do with this show, and I have a lot of say in it. And, you know, having, you know, in addition to being a host, I'm also a producer on it, so I do have a lot to say and involvement in it. But I also work for the network. And, you know, I hear from people all the time about things they wish would happen on that metal show. We wish you did more episodes. We wish you were on more often. We wish there was live performance. We wish there was DVD. We wish there was an iTunes download. We wish there was high def. We wish all these things. And my answer to all of them is, so do I. You know, I wish for all that too. But I don't own the show and I don't call the shots. I simply work for them. And when they tell us it's time to work, we go to work. And we're just waiting for that call right now. The last thing I heard is likely it will be, we'll hopefully shoot more shows end of October, early November. So you'll probably start seeing new stuff get on the air somewhere around, you know, the start of the holidays. But until they tell us, we're just kind of guessing at this point. So we're just waiting for that call.
Awesome, man. Well, we can't wait for the new season, whenever that may be. And we want to thank you so much for coming on and talking with us.
Great. Can I just mention real quick that I've got a second book coming out?
Yeah.
My second book, I released my first book a few years ago called Eddie Trunk's Essential Hard Rock and Heavy Metal. You can get it anywhere you buy books, and it's it did extremely well. And as a result of that, I've got my second book, which is a sequel. It's just called Eddie Trunk's Essential Hard Rock and Heavy Metal Volume 2, and that's coming out on September 24th. There's already pre-orders going on right now at Amazon, and I'm going to be going out on a full book tour to support it. There's some dates already on my site, which is eddietrunk.com. People can also follow on Twitter at Eddie Trunk. I'm going to be doing book signings across the country, and you can buy the book, like I said, digitally or physical copies starting on the 24th of September, and Amazon's doing pre-orders right now really at a cheap price. But if you're not familiar with the first book, you know, this book is a sequel to it, and basically both books are just 35 bands I love, cool photos that no one's seen before, my playlist and my stories in dealing with these bands and kind of behind the scenes stuff. So the first book was really well received, and I appreciate everybody for supporting that, and really excited to have part two coming out next month.
Awesome, man. We'll have to check those out. I love behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, well, you guys should check out the first one, and you know, I think you'd really enjoy it, and if you do, then the second one will be out soon. But response to the first one was incredible, and I appreciate everybody who bought it, and it's a real easy read. You know, there's a lot of books out there right now that are very lengthy and involved, and it'll take you a month to get through it, and my book is the perfect book to have by the toilet bowl. You know, it's easy, light reading. It's fun. There's some great stories in it, and there's some amazing photos too.
That's what I've loved about what we've been doing. We've been doing our show for a year, and we've just recently got to be attending concerts as press, and it's really cool to get the whole, you know what's going on backstage, to be in the press areas and talk to the bands and see them other than on stage.
Well, listen, good luck to you guys with what you're doing, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
We appreciate you coming on, man.
Yep, thanks, man.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Eddie Trunk, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Super cool guy.
Well, what did you think about his answers?
I mean, I kind of figured that he wasn't into nu metal.
I did too, but I wanted to hear his take.
Yeah. It's cool to hear the whole story about how he got started in the business.
Right.
You know, maybe anybody that's listened to our show a bit knows that Ned and I had kind of... We weren't that big of fans at one point, but I guess that may have been partly because of the way the show is run. Well, I don't know how to put it. You know what I'm saying here? He's not really a dick like he seems he is.
Right.
Because you think, you know, I mean, I guess we're kind of under the impression that he just ran the show with an iron fist and it was whoever he wanted on and all this. But,
right.
But it's nothing like that.
I was actually just asking him if he liked it personally.
Yeah.
I think he went into a defensive posture on he probably gets all these crazy metalheads being like,
yeah.
Being like, oh, what you got so-and-so in there, like Cannibal Corpse,
right, right.
And, I understand that it's VH1. I know they're not going to get, you know, Whitechapel on there for like an hour. Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I was just, really seeing if he ever listened to it or if he was completely against it or if he was like, but he's a more of an old school guy. I mean, that's the kind of the tenor of the show.
Yeah.
And he said it was VH1 Classic for a reason, but I'm going to tell you something, Eddie Trunk. I seen new ball games on ESPN Classic.
Oh, my God.
So what do you think about that? I only kid.
But everybody should check out his second book.
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be pretty cool.
I do get in these moods where I like to like wade back into the history of metal and like listen to like the older stuff. And
oh yeah,
sort of like do my own family tree.
Right, and you know it is sad to think that like Deep Purple and Motorhead will probably never be in the Rock and Roll Hall.
No. One question I thought about later that I wanted to ask him, and he was talking about like Scorpion Child and stuff. Is like. What does he think about bands that basically just take an old sound and copy it? You know what I mean?
Like the Sword.
Is that progress? Or does nostalgia, like, cut it? Is that a cop-out? Or I mean, I love those bands because I love that old sound. But, I mean, does there necessarily have to be a break, like, where you're, like, either doing retro or you're, like, progressing? Because metal has like a progression of heaviness,
mm-hmm.
that's sort of at a point of there's not much you can do to make it heavier right now.
No.
But like the bands he was listening to, like Judas Priest at the time was a lot heavier than, you know, than the other bands.
Right.
And then, you know, the thrash bands were the heaviest bands going in their time.
And then the death metal guy.
But now thrash is nothing like as far as just like craziness compared to like crazy bands. So you gotta, I don't know. What do you think? You think it's a cop out to like be like Sleep?
Sword? I don't think that it's a cop out. I think that it just goes back to find to people, you know, doing what they like.
Finding something that they enjoy that's
yeah
halfway forgotten, obscure.
Well, maybe they don't even think about that, but you know,
I don't know. I think it's kind of engineered. Like I was listening to the Secret of the, what is it? Secret of the Flame or something. What is the Blue Oyster Cult album?
No, is it the one with Don't Fear the Reaper on it? That's Don't Fear the Reaper.
No, it's the one with...
Astronomy?
It's the one with...
Burning For You.
Yeah, Burning For You.
I can't remember what the album title is.
The off cuts, like the deep cuts, like the first song.
Mm-hmm.
It is a ghost album. You right, know what I mean?
Right.
It's got the same bass tone, the same keyboards and everything, but I love it.
The only thing they don't have is Papa E.
Yeah, they don't have Papa E. But it's cool. I like that. I mean, I like the retro thing. What do you think about Forrest?
I do, too.
You like retro bands?
I do like the retro. It's got some flavor to it.
Yeah.
It's got something that it just can't be replicated today.
Yeah. The magic of it, right, is finding, like, right, these magical moments of the past, like, to revisit.
You know, the thing is, I know the production, that production sound you get from 80s and 70s music, it can't be replicated today. Everything's so clean today.
Yeah.
That production sound you get from the 80s and 70s, it's just, it adds something to it. You know what I mean? It just adds a certain flavor, a certain edge to it.
Oh, yeah. That's like black metal. Like, they're like obsessed with lo-fi.
Right.
It has to be the lo-fi. The more the dirtier, the better.
The thing about black metal is, I mean, they just go, the mixes are just so bizarre on it sometimes.
It's just like, wow. Oh, God.
Egg, yeah.
Sitting out in corpse paint in the middle of a Norwegian forest. At about 2 degrees. You got like a big Excalibur sword or something.
Big Pope uniform on.
Yeah.
Egg, yeah.
We need to organize a festival for downtown Hyden. Everybody walks through town with corpse paint, carrying battle axes, listening to Venom.
That would be awesome.
Do you think that metal can get any heavier though? Like, what are they going to do at this point?
At this day and age, I think it's reached its climax. I honestly don't see how it can get any heavier than what it is.
I mean, if you go back to a few years ago and you listen to like Pig Destroyer or something.
Yeah, that's what everybody said for a while, and then like Lamb of God came along. And
yeah, they're more like thrashy though.
Yeah, but a lot of metal these days, it's just let's get this pick and run it up and down the guitar and hold random fingers on random frets, and then
I think Dillinger Escape Plan's still pretty hard to beat on crazy.
Yeah. When we were at Orion, I was walking through the field and heard this god awful sound. And I looked over, and it was the Dillinger Escape Plan.
Like, how much more craziness can you fit in it? Like, it's like atonal noise. No real beats.
No just, melodies.
Just, like, crazy, like, jumbled up rhythms.
And then,
insanity.
Like animals singing.
They seem a little upset, and the guys from Fiddler seem to agree as well.
Yeah, that's like so far removed from Iron Maiden.
I know.
I was listening to Iron Maiden the other day.
666, the number of the beast.
That man has a bizarre vibrato in his voice.
I'm telling you, man, it's not natural.
It's not.
But it is, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
I kind of like their old singer a little bit.
You're talking from like the first three albums?
Yeah. Like the guy that they kicked out.
The guy that they don't acknowledge.
Right. He was like a punk singer or something.
Oh.
Paul DeYoung.
Congratulations to our friend J.R. Adams, who just had a baby a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
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 Giving birth to a little coon creeker.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a coon creek creeper.
Is it a big forker?
No.
It's not a big forker, is it?
I don't know what it's going to be.
Thank God.
Actually, JR's getting ready to move into his house that he's remodeled, and he pretty much lives right real close to him.
Oh, Lord.
That was the clearest horse that's ever been on the show.
I know.
Man, oh man. But, folks, we've got Scarefest coming up in Lexington, Kentucky.
We got Daniel Boone Plaza!
It's September the 13th through the 15th at the Lexington Convention Center in beautiful downtown Lexington, Kentucky. where you can get a room at the Hyatt with a lovely scenic view of historical Triangle Park.
Where it ain't getting mom when a drunk guy with flip flops will walk by and go, CTS, cats, cats, cats.
You know what I don't get?
All right.
Triangle Park is not a park at all.
Is it a triangle, though?
It's just a... Is it a triangle?
I don't know.
It's not even a park.
Let's get our protractors out, guys, and check this out.
It's just a fountain in the street.
Yeah, a park is like trees. And
where you can play frisbee golf.
Yeah.
And drink beer.
Park is where you can drink beer.
Like frisbee golf.
Yeah, and hide in the woods. And
poop.
Poop.
Criminal poop.
And old guys playing frisbee golf can jerk out their pipes and smoke pot while you walk by.
You know, according to Google, Triangle Park is actually kind of triangle-ish. Not completely triangle-ish. It's like one side's flat, one side's kind of curved.
All right.
What kind of triangle is that, Ned?
I don't know. What if Euclid were alive today? What would he think about it?
I don't know.
Sounds like a question for Bill Nye the Science Guy.
It does.
What would he say, like?
Words?
He'd probably be like, Apple Deus Napathopolepticon. And we'd be like, what you talking about, Euclid?
What you talking about, Euclid?
What you talking about, Euclid?
What do you think about it now before you go to sleep?
Man, stuff.
The Scarefest. Anyway, Scarefest is going to be awesome. We got Malcolm McDowell, who was in Caligula, the dirtiest movie ever made.
I see the eyes from Clockwork Orange.
Yes, sir. We've got a bunch from True Blood coming down to Lexington. We've got Kane Hodder, Daniel Harris, Stephen Tango, Grant Wilson, Josh Gates.
Uh-oh.
Ned's personal favorite, Chip Coffee.
Yeah.
You know, funny story, my brother was down at a basketball game a few years back, and apparently they were having this.
Uh-huh.
And he, like, kind of wandered in, and nobody checked him.
Uh-huh.
For a ticket or anything.
Right.
And he, like, kind of ran into Chip Coffee.
Really? The Chip Coffee read his mind and tear his soul out or something?
What if he would have said, I knew you were coming, Scott?
Yes. It's like, I don't know.
I knew you were going to be here.
Yeah.
The Scarefest is going to be really cool. Everybody should come down and check it out.
He just locked up to Scott and he said, beware. Walked off.
If I had famed myself as a psychic, I would do that to people.
Just freak them out.
Yeah.
Or try to.
Yeah. There would be...
Never compete with Hodder.
No. Because he's just scary.
I wonder if he does that in his free time. Like, he just goes to the post office and stands in the car.
He goes to the park.
Yeah, he goes to the park and, like, finds where the children are playing and just stands, like, next to the sandbox. I don't know.
You kind of got a Frankenstein story going on there a little bit, don't you? All the kids run off, but one little girl's like, I don't think you're scary.
Hands him a flower.
And he's like, yeah.
He gets her and throws her in the house. Throws her in the house with Gene Hackman. Yeah. God. God. Young Frankenstein just always lurks in the background of all things.
It does. It does. But folks, that's about all the time that we have for Kill Your Radio. We want to thank everybody for listening. And for any new listeners, go like us on Facebook at facebook.com/KillYourRadio12.
Yeah. If we don't quit, Graham Chapman's going to come in here and tell us we're being too silly.
Yeah. And in the upcoming weeks, look for an interview with us with Travis Walton.
Yes. And Pat's going to have to,
I'm gonna have to
purify his soul.
I'm going to purge my fears in a I'm going to have to watch Fire in the Sky.
Lord of mercy.
Oh, my God. But thanks to everybody for listening. I'm Pat. That's Ned. That's Forrest.
That's Forrest and Pat.
That's Ned and Pat.
Oh, man. That's a deer head and a deer head.
And courtesy deer. Of Roscoe.
Courtesy of Roscoe.
But it's like the unholy quadfecta.
There's only three.
You're leaving out the deer, pal.
Oh, my bad.
It might be a disembodied deer head, but it has feelings, too.
Oh, I see. Well, folks, we're going to leave you with Ned, who always has to say,
appreciate you.
Here's Johnny.
They're here.
Scarefest 6, the largest horror and paranormal convention in the United States, returns to the Lexington Center in Lexington, Kentucky, this September on Friday the 13th through Sunday the 15th.
Meet over 40 of your favorite horror and paranormal celebrities, including Friday the 13th director Sean Cunningham and several stars who played Jason in the movies. Also meet Jeffrey Combs, Bruce Davison, Aaron Goodwin, Josh Gates, and many others. This year, experience The Portal, a full gaming con, your gateway to the ultimate fan experience. For tickets and info, visit thescarefest.com.
Scarefest 6, this September, beginning Friday the 13th through Sunday the 15th. At the Lexington Center in Lexington, Kentucky. Be brave if you dare, but don't come alone.
Presented by Ghost Chasers International. What are you doing Friday the 13th?